Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of Christ Community Church in Springfield, Missouri. Christ Community features life-giving, verse-by-verse teaching from the Bible. If you would like more information about CCC, you can visit our website at cccspringfield.org. We trust these messages will challenge and encourage you in being a faithful follower of Christ.
Good Friday. Worship our Savior. Amen? Amen. Franciscan University in Ohio recently posted a series of ads on Facebook to promote some of its online theology programs. But Facebook rejected one of them because it included a presentation of the crucifixion. The monitors of Facebook said the reason for their rejection was that they found the depiction of the cross, quote, shocking, sensational, and excessively violent. Well, instead of taking the, you know, typical I'm a victim, feel sorry for me approach, the Franciscan University of Steubenville responded with a blog post that certainly surprised Facebook, it would seem. They agreed with the Facebook assessment. And they said, the university they posted in response, indeed, the crucifixion of Christ was all those things. It was the most sensational act in history. Man executed his God. It was shocking. Yes, because God designed to take on flesh and was obedient unto death, even death on a cross. And it was certainly excessively violent. A man scourged to within an inch of his life, nailed naked to a cross and left to die. All the hate of the whole world poured out its wrath upon his humanity. They went on to say that it wasn't the nails that kept Jesus on the cross, but it was his love for mankind. Amen. They said he was God. He could have descended from the cross at any moment. It was love that kept him there. Love for you and me, that we might be eternally condemned, might not be eternally condemned for our sins, but might have life eternal with him and his Father in heaven. Amen. End quote. That's a good response. You know, there have been many deaths in world history. I can remember as a five-year-old when John F. Kennedy was shot. You can figure out the math on your own. There might be those who think of Marie Antoinette, or they might think of the historical account of Cleopatra. But when we think of those things, we don't think of the assassination or the guillotining or the poisoning. Such references would be, you might say, uncouth or improper. But the death of Christ is completely different, because it's extraordinary that we refer to that as the crucifixion. Now, there were thousands of crucifixions during Roman times. Think of this. But there's one that stands alone in its significance. Most secular people would know what you mean if you say the crucifixion. Now, if you said the assassination or the poisoning, you would not know who the subject is. The death of the Son of God continues to command special attention. It has universal reverberations. And of no other death in human history could this be said. In fact, crucifixion was so frightening, the Romans would not crucify their own citizens. and women were rarely crucified because the men could not bear seeing a woman in that much pain. And the pain was so horrendous, they coined the phrase excruciating, which means out of the cross. The Bible brings clarity to the purpose of the crucifixion of Christ when the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Romans these words, "For while we were still weak at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." Notice the payoff or the benefits, because Christ has died for us. We've been justified through his blood. That means even though we are dead in our sins, God accepted the payment of Christ to pay for our sin debt. And now we are declared righteous by God. We don't have to face the wrath of God for eternity. No Christian will have to face God's condemnation. Now, we can't repeal what the highest authority has declared. We could not pay the price that God demanded because our sin is too great. And God's justice is too demanding. Only a perfect sacrifice would God accept. And that is why we are saved by the cross of Jesus Christ, who was our perfect high priest. Notice that our passage also says that we are reconciled to God. To be reconciled means to be brought into relationship, closeness, a fellowship with God. In other words, we were estranged or at odds with God. In fact, the Bible says that all have sinned and all are estranged, and only the blood of Christ can bring man and God together. Ephesians says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." According to Rick Atkinson in The Guns of Last Night, as World War II drew to a close, Americans took revenge against German soldiers. We may not like to hear about this, but here you go. The violence of war wore down the American soldiers, especially when stories of German atrocities spread. At the Battle of the Bulge, for example, SS troops slaughtered over 100 American soldiers after they had surrendered. By the time the Allies reached Germany, they showed no mercy. These, after all, were the perpetrators. German soldiers flying white flags were gunned down. And when the Allies liberated concentration camps, their sense of outrage and hatred grew even more murderous. Still having trouble hating them? Eisenhower asked a nervous young GI after touring Buchenwald. At Dachau, American liberators stood aside while inmates viciously killed their guards. GIs gunned down many more after they surrendered. Listen, I share that story not to show the uniqueness of such savagery, but so we can understand how human that is, right? Especially when we witness somebody we care about having to suffer at the hands of somebody else. Revenge is really not so uncommon of a feeling that we have as human beings. When one of our children suffer at the hands of a perpetrator, it brings out thoughts that might surprise the godliest of parents. In contrast, think of how God responded to us at the cross of Christ. Looking at a world that had scorned and abused his own son, hung him to die a slow, dangling death, how he must have hated them. Enough to kill them all. Except he didn't. The fact that we live is a demonstration of mercy. The fact that God offers us salvation through the crucifixion of his Son is unimaginable grace. Fellowship with God is dependent on Christ's work on the cross, continuing to be applied to our account. It's the only thing that we can do with our sin. I mean, what does a man or a woman do? Where do they go to if they've been treated unjustly by a spouse? Where does the perpetrator go for forgiveness? Where can a person go to who is so racked with shame for a past failure, when fellowship with God just seems like a distant wish more than a present reality? My dear friends, the path to restoring a relationship with God is the same as it's always been. It's through a cross. It is acknowledging the forgiveness of God in Christ is true for us. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For all the promises of God find their yes in him." It's a cross that represents to us the way of reconciliation. It's the cross that reminds us that there's a reason why we can continually come to God with confidence. It's a cross that forms the basis for a holy God to forgive us for everything we've done. It's a cross that paves the way for you and me to be restored with fellowship with God and to enjoy the sweet intimacy that maybe we lost because of our sin. I run to the cross. That's my hope. It's not because I cleaned up my act or just washed the outside. No, it's because a humble heart acknowledges its sin and just lays flat at the cross. The cross is a symbol of restoration and hope. Well, it's more than a symbol. That's where our hope lies. Amen. Author Henry Nouwen tells the story of a family he knew in Paraguay. The father, a doctor, spoke out against the military regime there and its human rights abuses. Local police took revenge on him by arresting his teenage son and torturing him to death. Enraged town folks wanted to turn the boy's funeral into a huge protest march, but the doctor chose another means of protest. At the funeral, the father displayed his son's body as he had found it in the jail, naked, scarred with electric shocks and cigarette burns and beatings. All the villagers filed past the corpse, which lay now in a coffin, upon the same blood-soaked mattress that he laid on in prison. It was the strongest protest imaginable, for it put injustice on a grotesque display. How is that different than what God did at Calvary? The cross that held Jesus' body naked, marked with scars, exposed all the violence and injustice of this world. And at once, the cross revealed what kind of world we have and what kind of God we have. We have a world of gross unfairness and a God of sacrificial love. We come here today to celebrate what God has done for us via the cross.
Thank you for listening to the Christ Community Church podcast. We hope today's message gives you encouragement and hope. If you would like more information about the church, you can go to cccspringfield.org.